I'm proud of you guys. I love this church. Honestly, I am proud to be a part of you guys. It's a wonderful privilege and an honor. And how many of you are in a journey of transformation? Okay. How many of you are not in a journey of transformation? Okay, good. Hey, somebody wasn't. Seriously, God is working us over so that we will look like Him. That last song, Oh, to Be Like Him, almost made me cry. I thought, oh, God, help us to look like You. Help us to be able to, like Paul, say, follow me as I follow Christ. If you walk like I walk, you're going to walk out of this looking good. God, help us to be able to have that kind of confidence that we are so yielded that whatever we walk out is a good thing for You to follow us into. How many of you want to raise your hands and say, that's me, that's me. Follow me like I follow Christ. Let's do this thing. And honestly, that's why I love being a part of this church. I think there are a lot of people that are very dead serious about laying down their lives and becoming what God wants us to become. And really, what He wants us to become is the great forgiver. Who was Jesus? He was the great forgiver. And I just want to pray. I talked to a man one time that I really thought was an angel. Might not have been. He worked in a prison, so maybe not. He wasn't in prison, but, you know, a guy could masquerade as an angel in prison. You'd never know. But I was talking to him, and the last thing he said, everything he said challenged the core of my being. And I talked to him for probably an hour and a half. He was one of the guards. And to me, his face radiated light. I was like, oh, my goodness. And, you know, how many of you have visited somebody in prison? Half, maybe. There's a thing like this, and the guard is in here, and you go up and get your number of your table and all that. And this guy was sitting in that spot. And I went up there, and he asked me a question, and it was a really deep question. It wasn't just a little surfacey question. It was a deep one. And then another one, and another one. And it was like God Himself was just grilling me on everything. And then He ended with this. He said, it sounds to me like you're on the right track. And this is an hour and a half later. And He says, it sounds to me like you're on the right track. But remember this, if you forget everything else I said, remember this one thing. Your mind is like a parachute, and only open ones work. If you think you know it all right now, you are never going to get anywhere other than where you've been. And God wants to take us far beyond where we've ever been. And so I just want to pray that God will open our parachutes because religion closes them. So put your hand on your parachute if you want to. God, we ask You to open our hearts and our minds. We need You. Holy Spirit, we love You. Thank You, thank You, thank You for the release of the hosts of heaven over this congregation and over this region. And we ask You that You would transform us to look just like You. We believe that You can do this. We believe that You are doing this. And we ask You to conform us into Your very same image. God, change us where we need changed. Heal the littleness of our heart. Cause our hearts to be huge for You. Cause our hearts to be huge for humanity. God, would You do for us what only You can do and conform us into Your same image. Jesus, we want, like You on the cross, we want to hang in this life saying, Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing, no matter what they do, God. Heal us and make us like You. In Jesus' name, amen. I'm a really seriously honest person, okay? So I'm going to be seriously honest with you. When I got up here, I was going, oh God, where are we going? And those, I don't have any idea because that's the way God uses me. He usually says, I'll tell you when you get there. You trust me or do you not? And the answer to that is, oh, I do, but sometimes it would be nice to have a hint where we're going, right? But those of you, how many of you have been around here like 20 years? Those of you that have been around 20 years know that that was not the way I used to be. I used to be terrified when my husband would say, that's my wife, Cheryl. I'd be like, oh, honey, don't point me out in a group. That would be horrible. But the truth is God can transform us. And I have huge faith in God. because I've watched him start working on me. I think, oh my goodness, who am I compared to who I used to be? Total different person. And so I can look out there to anybody. I don't care where they're at. I go into the prison all the time. And I think, you have no idea where you could be in just a little while. You have no idea who you might be if you let go and let God, right? And this group of people in particular, you're called to embrace the broken. You know that? You understand that? That is the call of God on your life, to absolutely love the unlovely, to love the broken, to love the ones that no one else loves. And it's to love the ones everybody else loves. Your call is to become formed into his very same image. And who was he? He was love. God was love. So when you think about yourself and you're sitting right there in that chair and you think, if everything except love disappeared out of this chair right now, how much of me would be left sitting right here? Think about it. How much of you has been conformed to love? And it takes the fruit of the Holy Spirit to conform you to love. So you can measure it by looking at the fruit of the Holy Spirit and saying, how much of me is long-suffering and gentle and patient and kind and gracious? All those things that the fruit of the Holy Spirit is. That is the work of the Father and the Holy Spirit in your life to bring you into the place that God intended for you to be. Well, how many of you have read or heard of the Scarlet Letter? Most of you. Scarlet Letter, I read it in high school. I think I had to. I wouldn't have read anything in high school that I didn't have to. So I think I had to read that. But it was about a lady that committed adultery, I think. And did they put the Scarlet Letter on her shirt or on her head? Chest. Okay. Well, anyway, I didn't read it very thoroughly. So just try to get by back in the day. So anyway, the bottom line is she had to wear a scarlet letter that told about her sin. How many of you have committed things in your life that you think, you know, I really do not want that going public? How many of you this week did something you think, I just don't want that going public? That way I talk to my husband, or that way I talk to my wife, or that little snippy attitude. Seriously. But we live in a community of people, and God has given, he's worked me over in every direction. Well, not all of them, probably more coming, but in so many directions, I can't even imagine it. And I had a problem, and I brought this up years ago. I had a problem as a young Christian with people that had sexual sin, and it was predominantly sexual sin in the pulpit or in somebody that should know better, right? And I don't think I told you guys all this, but I had a real problem with that, and I didn't have a lot of grace for it, and I didn't have a lot of forgiveness for it. I really didn't. And I probably had quite a bit of hatred and bitterness. If I really look back and think about myself, I think, you know what, you were pretty goofed up, Cheryl. But the fact is, we went through two different incidents that were very, very, very hard on me as a young, young girl. And Dave and I got married at, I was married at 20, and we went through some stuff that changed our lives drastically inside the church. The pastor fell morally and made a big mess. It was a disaster. And it was so shocking to me because I could not imagine that. And I just made pretty deep inner vows about that kind of stuff. And God had to work me over. And I think, how many years was that? It probably took 25 years of him working on me to get that out of me. It was, I had as big a problem as the guy did, but it was an opposite problem. It was unforgiveness and holding grudges and hatred towards somebody, correct? Just as big a problem as adultery. You all understand that? Okay. And so that was my problem. And then Dave one day told me at our house, he said, we're going to move so-and-so in the house. And I looked at him, I said, we're going to do what? And I won't tell you who, but you would probably know who, some of you. But I said, we're going to do what? You're gone all the time. The guy is 50-year-old. I'm 50 years old. He fell morally. He's been running around with young prostitutes. What are you talking about? You're going to leave him for me to deal with? I'm just like, it was shocking to me. I'm just like, hey, this is a really bad idea, God. And Dave did move him in, and Dave was gone all the time, and God gave me a heart for this man and broke my heart for my ugliness and the ugliness that was in me that was just as ugly as some of that. And I thank God for that. God usually takes things and puts them right in my face. That's just probably the way I learn. But how many of you are like that? You learn by stuff in your face? How many of you were here years ago when Pat Frazier was here? Pat Frazier will be getting out of prison soon. And we need to love Pat Frazier and embrace him and understand that he fell in sin and he was a mess at the time and none of us knew it. And it made a mess for us that we all hated. All of us hated it, right? Those of us that walked through that, it was a horribly ugly time. But we have got to become like him. When we were singing that song, as he said, "Oh, to be like you. Oh, to be like you, Jesus, that we would change and be just like you." But we're not. We're so far from being like him. We're so judgmental and we hold people in their sin. And he does not do that. He doesn't even know how. It's not who he is. He is love. And we've got so far to go. And today, in today's society, we still have a scarlet letter that we put on people. How many of you know what it is? And none of you? Sexual immorality, sexual sin. If someone goes to prison because they have done a sexual sin, we put them in a different category. And that is sin. That is wrong. That is not right before God. And we have got to get past our own stuff and past our own ugliness and holding people in different groups and saying, "I will never forgive that sin." That is not our it's not our prerogative. We don't have a right to choose what we forgive and what we don't forgive. The Bible plainly says, if you do not forgive, you will not be forgiven. And God wants us to change at the deepest level. And I'm here to tell you tonight, I felt like I was going to talk to you about fasting. So there we go. Here we are, off on a total wild one, because God put me on a wild one. And I really feel like God is just saying, listen, what God's been dealing with me lately with is this. Cheryl, what if I want you and your husband to start a ranch and have a communal living setting for all of those coming out of prison that have committed sexual sins? And so now they are on Megan's list, okay? And I felt like the Holy Spirit told me today something really odd. I think that if Jesus was alive as he is, but if he was alive in a physical body form today, I believe very much if he had a home, that home would have to be registered on Megan's list. Because he would take in broken people. Because it's who he is. He loves the broken. When they repent, our whole job is to run towards them just like we run towards the prodigal son. Religion wants to sit back and say, you prove exactly who you are. And what God says is, are you kidding me? Run and embrace them. And we all love the men's center, right? You all love the men's center. Everybody loves the men's center. It's true. We adore the men's center. We don't hold them in their sin any more than they hold you in yours, because you have sin just like they had addictions or whatever. Some of them just signed up because they want to be better people. Some of you ought to sign up because you want to be better people. Just kidding. Maybe I ought to sign up because I want to be a better people. Anyway, I really felt like tonight, Dave asked me to read Trinity's letter. Trinity wrote a letter, and Trinity ended up in prison, and God changed me so much, it's scary. I'm like, God, are you kidding me? How do I end up going into prison all the time to see people that are sexual offenders? I end up all the time. I mean, if you would have told me that would have been my story a long time ago, I said, you're dreaming. You got the wrong person, and I am the opposite of all that, and it doesn't make any sense, and I'm not going to be doing that. Well, the truth is, God has to work us over until we become just like him. And God loves the ones that no one else cares about. And God wants us to be a group that love the ones that no one else cares about. So what if God set Dave and I up in a communal living setting with the people that they say cannot live next to you because you're afraid of them, because you don't have perfect love? Is that true? Perfect love casts out all fear. If we have perfect love, we can speak to the enemy and say, you stop it, and we would be able to stop the sin that happens because it's a spirit inside of a person that causes the sin to happen. Does that make sense to you guys? It's not a person doing it. It's the spirit that's making the person make the mess. And we need to hate the spirit that's making the mess and love the sinner. Okay? And so here's the deal. We have to become a people that love and bring healing to the most broken. I don't care who's the most broken. They may be broken in the way of so running after financial gain. That is brokenness, just like sexual sin is brokenness. Do you know that? If you're running after the stuff of this world, you're broken. It's goofed. It's all going to disappear, and then you will stand before your Creator, and He will say, what were you doing? You were down there playing with the stuff that disappears when I told you that there's one thing that really matters. Love me and love others. All this stuff disappears. You guys are a group that are slated to become love. I had an encounter with a prophetic, phenomenal, sweet-spirited, beautiful man this week. And it's amazing to me what happens in my life. Honestly, it blows my mind what happens. But Joanne asked me if I'd go up and meet a friend. She said, he's really prophetic. I said, sure, I'll come meet him. And I went up with her. And the guy, we go in to sit down and talk at this little restaurant. And we go to sit there. And he looks at me and he says, I'm kind of unusual. And I said, yeah, me too. I said, I hope you're weirder than me. That'd be great. Because then I'll have something fun to talk about. That's good. So he said, yeah, this I like that. I like this. This is fun. I'm like, yeah. So he says, you know, I have dreams, and sometimes I know what they're about, and sometimes I don't know what they're about or who they're for or whatever. And he said, this morning I had a dream. I said, well, was it a good one? He said, it was a great dream. It was a fabulous dream. I said, well, tell me about it. He said, well, it's about Charlotte's Web. He said, I'm just like, oh my goodness. And the guy is this sweet spirit, like a childlike heart and full of love. He says, it's Charlotte's Web. It was a story about Charlotte's Web. And he said, you know, it was really amazing because the people were doing really splendid things. In Charlotte's Web, there's a word they use all the time. I wrote it somewhere in my, Amazing, but spectacular. Spectacular. Spectacular things. And he said, so in my dream, the people were doing spectacular things. They were amazing. And I just thought, oh my goodness, how interesting. And he said, you know, Wilbur, and Wilbur is the pig, right, in the movie. He said, Wilbur Street. I felt like I'd meet somebody that lived on Wilbur Street. And I said, yeah, that would be me. I lived on Wilbur for 25 years. And he said, you lived on Wilbur Avenue for 25 years, which is correct. And I said, yes. And he said, oh, it is about you guys. The spectacular stuff, it's about you guys. He said, interesting. This is going to be interesting. And so he starts in and goes through all kinds of crazy stuff. And he later, he says, out of the blue, he says, where's your husband from? And I said, my husband's from Idaho. And he said, I said, he's a cowboy from Idaho. And he says, E-L-K-A-N-A-H. How do you say that? I said, that's Elkanah. That would be my husband's middle name. And I said, he changed it from Gail because of the connotations with Gail. He said, G-A-I-L. I saw that too. And I'm now thinking, oh, shoot, he's seeing everything. This is interesting. And he's sweet, fabulous-hearted young man. And then he says, yeah, you're an October baby, aren't you? I said, yeah. He said, 26th. And I said, oh, yeah, 26th. It's accurate. He said, you're 53. And that the funny thing is that morning in my Tuesday morning ladies group, I was saying to the group, I don't know how old I am. So some guy I'd never met looked at me and said, you're 53. I'm like, yeah, that's actually right. That is correct. You got it right. It was amazing. And the guy had a phenomenal prophetic gift in every direction. First thing he said to me actually was, he looked at me and said, Josh and Noel, these two names swirl around you. Well, I pray for these two people a lot. It's amazing. They would swirl around me. And then later, he picked up on one of my daughter-in-laws, brought her name up, told her birthday, told what was about to happen in her life, and said, it's going to cause amazing things when this happens. It was phenomenal. And I say all this to say that he prophesied over you all amazing, spectacular things. And he said, you will wear the breastplate of love. He said, you will wear the part of the garment that is absolute love. He said, that's the part you're to wear. And it was hilarious because then he actually, after he did Dave's name, he said, Cheryl, and your middle name, it has an L. But he said, it really should be love because God is going to conform you into love. And I thought, oh God, to be like you. Would you help us to be like you? Because we're so far away. We are so far away. We don't love each other like we love ourselves. We don't even love our spouses like we love ourselves. We need to lay down our lives for those that are around us. For Ronnie Brazier's hand up, go down there, pour money in, help the broken, help the broken, help the broken. That is the heart of God. That is what it means to become love. Well, Trinity, did I tell all of this stuff? Oh, he went on. He said, you have a well. He said, it's a well, and it's going to spring up with fresh water that's going to go all over the place. He went through all kinds of stuff, all kinds. And then he said, Dave, your husband, he said, 55, and he is. He said, 55, grace, grace. He said, a lot of grace surrounding what's going on up there. He said, a lot of grace surrounding the transition around December 14th. Is that his birthday? I said, maybe. He said, well, you better know. I said, I'm tired of it already. I'm thinking, are you kidding? You know everything. Why are you asking me anything? You're the one telling me everything. And the truth is, that's what happened with the woman at the well with Jesus. She's like, hey, he knows everything. He knows everything I've been doing. Well, that's the way this guy was. And his heart was like a child. Little child. And he had been hurt in churches because everybody in the church or leaders or many leaders are way screwed up. Did you know that? Who said amen so loud? Many leaders are way screwed up. That is the truth. That is the truth. But many people in the pews are screwed up too. But seriously, we shouldn't be. We should have a little bit more together. But seriously, many leaders are goofed up and they hurt people. And he's been through funky stuff where a leader looks at you and says, you know, prophesy over this person and this is what I'd like you to prophesy. Crazy, ridiculous stuff. I'm like, are you kidding? Total manipulation of the gift of God. And this group, I bring this up because you guys, I want you to be the kind of people that when people come in that have extraordinary gifts, because I promise they're coming and there's going to be a lot of them. I know they're coming and they're on their way and they will have extraordinary gifts. Not to mention, there will be many of you carrying extraordinary gifts and all of us doing the spectacular things that God has for us as we become love. The key is becoming love. If we can become love, we will walk out the full will of God in our lifetime. If we cannot become love, we will not walk out the full will of God. And I have many things that I want to tell you. Actually, Dave told me last night I was supposed to be speaking. I'm like, I don't have anything to say. Like, he's like, right, Cheryl. Like, I believe that. Seriously, Paul, why don't you come on up and share this letter? This is a letter from a young man that's in prison. And as he reads this letter, this is a letter that he wrote to Dave. We have got amazing things happening right now. They're amazing. We've got revivals happening in prisons. We brought that up a few times. I want Paul to read this, and then we want to deal with this, and then I want to move on to the rest of this stuff.
Dear Dad, I love you. I'm writing because we are in need of the church's help. Since I got here in the beginning of December, God has been moving mightily. When I got here, the prison was being turned into an all-male facility, so God was pulling men from all over the state to fill it up, as the beds were vacated by the females. One of the major differences here is that all four yards share one chapel, whereas in other prisons, there is a chapel on each yard. The blessing is that all of the brothers in the whole prison can worship together, and we were having great fellowship. Then the warden came up with a new rule, stating that there can only be 25 men per staff member or volunteer. What that means is that if the chaplain is here by herself with no volunteers, we can only have 25 men in each service. For every volunteer that comes in, we can add another 25 and so on. Currently, we have upwards of 700 men signed up to go to church. We are faced with the reality that hundreds of men may not have the opportunity to go to church. I spent most of last week with the chaplain trying to find ways to provide services for the men, but without volunteers, we just don't have enough time slots available to serve 700 plus men at 25 men per service. As it is, I alone will be preaching Wednesday and Thursday a.m., Saturday, as well as Monday and Tuesday on the yard, and Isaiah 61 on Wednesday night, which we have pages of men front and back signed up for. There are other faithful brothers that God has brought here that I was in ministry with in other prisons who are doing all they can as well. The chaplain is working overtime to do all she can as well. So to make a long story longer, we need volunteer help. Revival is breaking out here, and we are engaged in spiritual warfare. So I am calling upon our brothers and sisters in Christ for help. I've talked with the chaplain, and we are in agreement that we need a volunteer team of at least 5 members to commit to coming here one Saturday of every month from 7 till 4 so we can provide fellowship for at least 500 of these brothers. I spoke with Mom, and we have it figured at between $60 and $100 for a round trip, depending on how big the vehicle is used. We can have up to 10 volunteers at a time. So I guess what we are looking at is 10 people donating $10 per month so that hundreds of men can go to church. I know that times are hard out there, but this is the will of God. We desperately need help. Both the chaplain and myself were brokenhearted last week when we had to tell broken men that we had to put them on a waiting list because we didn't have room for them at church. What really hurts me is that I know that if we don't make room for them, the devil will. So, Dad and church, please, please, please help us. Love your son, Trinity.
Now, any of you that don't know, he's not our biological son. We adopted him once he went to prison. But I want those of you, the ushers, to have these, correct? I want you to pass these out. These are sign-up forms. How many of you would be willing to sign up to be a part of a Saturday team? He's asking for one little team once a month. And we said, how about we do one team every Saturday and have them be able to go to church all the time? So Dave said, let's get 5 different teams together. And so I want you to start raising your hands. If you want a form to be filled out, raise your hand. And any of you that think you could even do it, a backup or anything, honestly, this is going to be fun. It'll end up blessing you. You're going to be the one that ends up going, I cannot believe that I didn't do this earlier. It's actually fun and wonderful. And on the form, you can mark, put your name and phone number and everything, and we'll sort it all out. Put down there if you could be a volunteer, the 1st, 2nd, 3rd, 4th, or if you're flexible on which Saturday you can do. And if you can pitch in financially, put that down. So if you want to just pitch in financially, you can take one form, just mark it. And so that is, we wanted to handle that prison setting stuff. So you're going to hand those into Bill at the back. There's also or somebody at the back, Bill. And there's a board at the back that you can sign up on, okay? And it's actually really, really fun. If you are currently on probation, probably should pass. Just a thought. Probably going to get a no, right? So, okay. So let's move on. Here's a really exciting thing. I've had amazing, exciting things that have happened in the last few days. Well, in the last few weeks. God's been speaking to me a lot, and it's crazy, crazy stuff. And I said, honey, can I share the stuff I feel like God's telling me? He said, you go for it. And I said, it's pretty out there. And he said, I know. And people need their faith stretched. And honestly, when I look at myself, I think, are you kidding? For me to have the grace to be willing to do whatever God tells me to do, it's easy. If he can change me, he can change you. If he can change you, he'll make a whole corporate body of people that are really willing and ready to do whatever. And so here's what God starts speaking to me about. He starts speaking to me about really only needing him. Him and him alone, that he was everything that we needed. And we say that. How many of you just in your hearts think, yeah, I believe that? Now, when you get on a fast, do you still believe that? still believe it. 7 days into a fast is like, oh, actually, 7 days into a good water fast, if you go on a serious water fast, by 7 days, you're sailing. If you didn't understand that, you get to a plateau. I just asked Gabe if I could use his name because I was like, come on, Gabe, let's fast, let's fast. God puts me on fast, and he told me that when you go on fast, you do the opposite of what the Bible actually says. The Bible says be quiet and, you know, all that stuff. He said, you tell people when you're fasting because it's not, you're not trying to promote yourself. You're trying to stir people up to do it. And that's part of the job God put on me. In fact, one time, oh my goodness, it was so embarrassing to me. We went out to lunch right after church with a brand new couple in the church. And then we were taking, the elders were going out for 3 days and we were going to eat at some buffets and stuff. And we got done eating with the new people and the Holy Spirit said, now fast. And I'm like, I'm going to be with all the elders for 3 days. Why would I start a fast now? This doesn't make any sense. And he just said, because I said to. You just do what I say to do. And it doesn't make any sense to the natural mind because that's not a good time to hide when you're with a whole group of people. But the fact is, for me, it has nothing to do with pride. Honestly, God can do whatever he wants to and he'll conform whoever he wants. I hated fasting. I was the non-faster. I was the one that wanted to get pregnant, so I didn't have to fast. I'd be like, he's calling 3-day fast, I'm going to get pregnant. Seriously, it was very hard for me to fast. I did not like that. But the fact is, God wants us to die to the flesh. Our natural cravings need to be dealt with. They have to be dealt with. And if we aren't willing to allow our natural cravings to be dealt with, then we will just be fleshy people. And until we operate in the Spirit, it is not possible to please God. And so, Gabe, we were talking about this whole fasting thing. And so he jumped in. He said, yeah, I'm going to do one. Let's do it. He read a book that I read by Mahesh Chavda. There's so many good fasting books because people that fast get excited about what happens. Fasting breaks strongholds. It breaks strongholds. How many of you have stuff that you need shifted in your life? How many of you think we have stuff that needs shifted in the church or the region? Okay, the early church fasted 2 days a week, all the time, all the time. And for you, you'll be healthier if you fast 2 days a week. So I asked Gabe, I'm like, how you doing? And he said, oh, he said, I'm high. I'm on a high. This is awesome. I feel great. He said, I didn't know. I've always fasted with other means. But when you do water only, it cleans the junk out of your system. It's really part of the process. It's a natural thing that's good for you and a spiritual thing that's phenomenal for you. So I want to encourage you. We are in the mode right now of pushing towards phenomenal breakthrough. And really, it's going to happen no matter what. And God, I told you all once before, God told me, Cheryl, if you fasted and prayed for 50 years for what I'm about to do, it wouldn't be too long. You would look back and say, oh, it was so worth every minute of that fasting, every minute of it. And I know that we are pushing closer and closer. I saw over there in the prayer room, closer and closer towards the outpouring of the Spirit in a way that's absolutely phenomenal. I get calls several times a week from people that have dreams and visions in this church. James Harrison had a couple things he told me today. Motor this week, several people. Just they call me and say, oh my goodness, I just saw what's about to happen. I saw, and they always see this big field filled with people and miracles happening. That's happened over and over. And the glory of God taking everybody down over and over. People call and tell me these things that are about to happen. Well, I know they're about to happen. The question is, how ready are you? How ready are you? Get yourself in a place of fasting where you are crucifying your flesh, the lusts of the flesh, because it will take things down like unforgiveness and judgment and criticism and all that ugly stuff. God wants us humble. He wants us full of his light and his life and his glory. So God's talking to me about really, truly only needing him and just needing him. And he's like, do you believe? And he said this to other people in the Bible. Read John 3, 4, 5, and 6. Just take that. John 3, 4, 5, and 6. Unbelievable as you start reading all this. He's talking to the woman at the well, and he says, if I give you something to drink, if you knew what you were doing, you would have asked me because I would give you something, and you would never thirst again. And then the disciples come to him, and they say, You should be hungry. What's going on? You've been out here all this time. And he said, I have nourishment that you don't know about. How many of you have nourishment that we don't know about? It's doing the will of the Father. And God wants you to be so passionately in love with him that you are a fasted lifestyle type person, a fasting person. This church should be a church that we all know. We tithe, we give, we pray, and we fast. Those are the foundations that build strong churches. Do you understand that? Every one of you should be tithing, fasting, and praying. And you will be ready when God does what he's up to. It's really exciting. And if you're behind on your tithing, jump on it because it's time to get caught up. And if you're behind on just giving for the sake of the poor and the needy, that's a big deal. It is a big deal to the heart of the Father for you to care about somebody other than you. One time God told me, I was praying for my kids. And God said, Cheryl, you pray for my kids and I'll pray for yours. I thought, wow. It's a deal. You got a deal. I will pray for the broken in the world. And the Father will take care of my own children. And I know he told me that. And since then, it's been just a peaceful, fabulous time to just trust him. Anyway, this last week, I will have to say I was so proud, so very proud of one of our people. So proud. They had a very, very difficult situation in their family. And it was an amazing... Really, there was a predator that was preying on a 16-year-old girl. And it was not a joke. It was serious. And I went and talked to the girl. And she had told when it got serious, the text became obvious that there was a problem. And she told a youth pastor or someone. And then the parents got involved. And the police got involved and took the young man to jail. And I went to talk to the parents. And when I went to talk to the parents, I wanted to cry because they so represented the heart of the Father. I just thought, you go for it. I am so proud to be a part of who they are. I'm so proud of them. And as I stood there, they just said, I don't hate him. We don't hate him. And there were other young women, 14-year-olds, that had been raped by this man. Put yourself in that spot and think, how am I going to handle this? What am I going to do when this happens and it's this close to home? And so in the middle of all of that, I was up there talking and I felt the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit said, ask them if you can go in and share my love with him. And I thought, oh God, oh my goodness. And so I did. And they both said, oh, I would love that. I would love that. I would love for you to go in and share my love with that young man. And seriously, if he doesn't get healed, he will be in jail a few years. And since he's already raped people, he will be out and he will do that again, most likely, unless God intervenes while he's in prison and he gets healed. Correct? It's just the way that works. And so I thought, you know, God, your redemption and the way your redemption works is you grabbed him up just in time and set him down in a prison so he could hear about your love. Well, I just thought, okay, I'm going to go in. I'm going to ask God for grace and mercy and for his heart for this young man. And I went in. The guy was 29 years old. And I went over and I asked for a visit. I got a pastoral visit, went in. And I just said, I'm here to tell you why you do what you do. I don't know if you understand demons, but I know you have them. And I'm guessing that you were molested as a little boy. And I'm guessing that your life has been very, very difficult. But I know the answer. And you have been rescued just in time to not end up in another big, huge mess. And it was awesome and amazing. And I'm telling you, he teared up and he said, no, I don't know about demons, but everything you're saying makes sense. And yes, to all those things you told me about myself. And yes, to all those things about my, you know, on and on. I can't disclose details about stuff. But honestly, God gave grace to where it was an amazing time. And finally, by the end of 2 hours, he ended up saying, I don't know that I'm ready to let go of the anger and the bitterness towards my mom and my dad from what they've done to me. Okay? So I want you to pray. You don't know the name. You don't know the situation. I want you to pray that he can let go of that. And he actually said, I will pray about it. He said, I got in here and he said, I was raised in a Christian school. I said, where were you raised? And he said, Brooks, Oregon. And I said, oh my word, I was raised in Brooks, Oregon. What Christian school? He said the name. I said, so was I. And I'm like, oh my goodness, we're 30 years apart, 25 years apart in age. But the fact is, he's a young man that was broken by sin in his family, crushed by sin in his family. And we have got to have enough redemptive love of God to bring redemption to who they call the outcast these days. And that is becoming love. That is, I know there are people that are not happy with what I'm saying. There are people that have left unhappy with what I'm saying. But the fact of the matter is, it's the heart of God for our church family right now, for us to become love at such a deep level that we can go into the prisons and we don't care what their crime was. We care that God forgave them and he loves them. My husband had a dream about homosexuality a couple years ago, and he was struggling with all the kind of stuff that was, you know, is being pushed forward, and it's a mess. And God hates homosexuality. Again, he hates pride. He hates lust. He hates all sin because it destroys his kids. But Dave had a dream about homosexuality, and he said, I walked by a bar, and he said, I look in to that bar, and in the bar, there's all these homosexual guys, and it's a mess. And he just thought, ugh. And God told him to share, to go in and talk to them. And he said, okay, I'll do that. And he's getting all ready to go in. And he says, what do you want me to tell them? And he said, the only thing they're ready to hear is that I love them. And Dave was like, you don't want me to straighten them out? It shocked him. The fact is, God's love will straighten them out. God's love will straighten you out if you let it. God's love will change you from the inside out to where you love people in the middle of their sin. And you don't wink at the sin. You call sin, sin, but you love them in the middle of it. So anyway, let me go back to our situation here. We ended up, that story ended up, I'm telling you this because I am so proud of those parents. I am so proud of that mom and that dad that rather their daughter was teetering on the verge of a very ugly situation. The kind that the shack was made of, okay? Very serious. But the truth is, God's love was bigger in their life than that ugly fear that was a part of them. And I just want you to begin to pray into that for your life. I want you to begin to pray, God, conform me into love. Help me to be the one that will just love everybody, no matter what they've done. God doesn't hold it against them forever. Do you understand that? And he heals completely. This young man will be healed completely. I know that beyond a shadow of a doubt. I know it. I was sitting there. I was like, oh my goodness, God, I didn't sign up for this. I cannot believe you have me doing this. But I know that he is going to yield. And he went on to talk about being in Christian quartets and being kicked out of churches because he had a drinking problem. The drinking problem was because he had been so horrifically abused and he was trying to cover the pain in his own life. But the question is, where is the church that will come to the front and say, I've got answers for your drinking problem. I see the pain in your eyes. I see what's going on inside of you. And I have the answer. I have the unconditional love of the Father. Let me wrap my arms around you because I am not afraid of your past. Does that make sense to you? I believe that you are going to be a people that are like that. And I believe that's in my prayers every day. I say, oh God, conform us to love. Make us the great loving church, the church that really, truly walks out real Christianity, where people can come and they are not afraid because love covers a multitude of sins. And they are not afraid that you might find out something I did one day and then all of a sudden you treat me different. Give me a break. We are not Christians if we do that. Do you understand that? We are not Christian if we treat people different because of a sin in their past. So this was a fasting sermon. Anyway, I want to tell you another really exciting thing that happened, and we've got to wind down and close, but I really believe God's wanting to change our hearts tonight. It was an amazing thing that happened. God's so kind to me. I just am amazed at his kindness. I found myself sitting in there in that little legal office at prison going, God, you're so good. I wouldn't trade what I'm doing right now for any amount of money. I would not trade it. It's my favorite thing that I get to do. Come to the very broken and share the absolute unconditional forgiveness of God and tell them you can again forgive. You can live. You will live again as you learn to forgive. And I told this young man, you wouldn't be sitting here if you had already forgiven the people that have hurt you. We've got to get you past that. Anyway, it was an amazing deal. God allowed me to go down to a conference in the middle of my journey of him saying, am I all you need? Could you fast earth world stuff and feast on heaven? And I'm thinking, wow, this is kind of a radical thought. Right? He's talking to the woman at the well saying, I'll give you something you'll never be thirsty again. He didn't tell her that her voice would never get funky. Sorry. Anyway, then they go on and Jesus says, I have food. I have food. I have nourishment that you don't know anything about. And then we go on and we go into the verses on manna from heaven. And the verses about manna, Jesus said, your fathers ate manna and they died. If you eat me, you will live and never die. Then he goes on, he says, eat my flesh, drink my blood. Eat my flesh, drink my blood. Eat my flesh, drink my blood. Everybody freaks out, goes, ah, we're out of here. Crazy, crazy, crazy cult. Well, the truth is, what he was trying to say there, I'm everything you need. I am everything you need. If you people believe that God is everything you need, he will be. If you do not believe that he's everything you need, he won't be for you. We can walk into a light that is far beyond what we yet understand. And as God began to talk to me about this, it was so crazy. And I told Dave, and he didn't even think it was crazy. He was like, huh, interesting, Cheryl. And I just thought, wow. But I started telling Dave, honey, God's telling me that he can be everything we need. He can be everything I need for nourishment. He could be everything that I need. And I know that because of feeling the presence of God at times. If you ever get in the manifest presence of God, the rest is going to seem like ridiculous. This world stuff is nothing. We are going to walk into the manifest presence of God. Moses did. His face shined. He did not need water and he did not need food. Do you know that story? It's a Bible story. It's before Jesus died. Enoch walked into heaven. Spectacular things, aren't they? Spectacular. God is wanting our little unbelief to be checked in for a phenomenal belief system that we are citizens of another realm and that the natural earth world's rules are not what rule us, right? Do you understand that? That's the will of God for each one of you. But it'll only work if you take it and apply it and say, hey, this is for me. I'm going for it. I am going for citizen of heaven. Natural world stuff is not going to control me. I speak and I declare the truth of what's going on in heaven and it manifests on this earth. That is the will of God for each and every one of you. And God wants you to be the great forgiver like him. Become love so that you can speak truth as he speaks it and you will manifest his glory. God is going to do phenomenal things here among all of you. And it's just exciting. I'm just like, oh my goodness, I can hardly wait. But so I'm telling Dave, I'm like, honey, God's really telling me that he's everything I need, that I could really literally just eat of him and live and never die. You know the verse? There's verses. This sounds crazy. There's verses. I told Dave, I was looking at this today after he told me to share. And I said, honey, I'm not a teacher. I'm not a teacher. I see the verses. They're going to think I'm crazy. He said, Cheryl, don't try to teach. Don't try to teach. He said, just share. He said, effervesce. He said, effervesce. You just go for it. Let what God's doing inside you out. But read John 3, 4, 5, and 6. And the fact of the matter is, I was and God told me to tell. I'm not boasting. Fasting is no big deal now because God broke me, and that's an easy thing. But he told me, tell people when you fast, because I want you to stir people to fast and pray. I want you to be an agent to stir people to fast, because fasting tears down strongholds, and it changes us so that we can change the atmosphere. And as he was speaking to me about all that, I end up down at this conference, and I was 26 days into a water fast at the time. And in the middle of that, Patricia King said, would you come, Cheryl, and share? And when I got done sharing, I felt like God said, you can eat. And I'm like, what? I didn't know if I was ever going to eat. Okay. So I went and I ate, and I said, God, if you were talking to me before, if that was really you, and it isn't just my wild, crazy, crazy, crazy imagination, will you please give me a sign? I need a sign. And I never do that. That's not normal. I obviously, that was God speaking out of me, because I don't do that. I'm pretty trusting. If I hear God, I just trust him. And so and this particular time, I just said, God, give me a sign. I will consider it a sign if somebody gets up and speaks on fasting. I will consider it a sign if somebody just mentions fasting. You know, I gave him so many loopholes. It was ridiculous. That part wasn't God. That was my unbelief. But anyway, the next morning I said, I need it in 24 hours. I want a sign in 24 hours if it's really you saying that you are all we need, that we could literally fast earth world food and live in this flesh and not die. And the Bible talks about it. Read the verses. Don't shoot me yet. Read the verses. But anyway, the next day, I'd studied some of it because God's talking to me, and I study some of it. And there's people in India that went 65 years under the power of the Kundalini force. And I'm like, that makes me mad. That really makes me mad, because people serving a demon god have more dedication and more, I will do whatever I need to do, than a lot of us do. And so I was like, no, this is not okay. That is a demon, and it's empowering him from a demon spirit. Anyway, long and short of it is, the next morning I go to the conference, and Patricia says, we have a really unusual man here today, and he's a friend of Joshua Mills, and I haven't been to his place yet, but I'm going to. She's all excited about him, and she said, this is unproven, this is uncharted territory, but I just want you to know what the deal is. Uncharted territory, but he has only had 7 meals in 10 months. And I was like, oh, shoot. This is not what I wanted to hear. I knew God was telling me stuff like that. And I know that God is everything we need to the level that we can believe that. Does that make sense to you? Do you understand? It's our unbelief that gets in the way all the time. And we are mere mortals. God is trying to break us of the mere mortal mentality and get us into that place where we walk in the spirit and we say, oh God, help me to walk in the spirit and not in the flesh. Help me not to fulfill the lusts of the flesh, but to fulfill the will of the spirit. And God is going to do spectacular things around here. And what I want to do is encourage you where we're at right now. We could fast 2 days a week, all of us, easy, and we would all fit in here better. Understand what I'm saying? We'd fit in, our clothes better, everything would be better. We are healthier if we give our insides a rest. But it's not really about that. It's really about yielding to God and saying, oh, Holy Spirit, come and do whatever you need to do. Change me from the inside, because God is wanting to do spectacular things, and he will choose people that yield to him at deep levels. And don't do anything crazy. Do what the Holy Spirit tells you. And if the Holy Spirit tells you do something crazy, talk to one of the elders. Talk to an elder, get yourself submitted, but follow along as the Spirit leads you wherever he takes you, because he's going to take us into the place where crazy things happen. Now, I'll close with just one more very wild story that happened to me, and hopefully this challenges you. But God spoke to me one morning. I was sitting at my living room praying. I was just sitting in the living room, and I was praying, and he spoke to me, and he said, Cheryl, if you will set your heart and your mind and your affection on things above, the gravitational pull of this earth world will not hold you. I was like, oh, shoot. I was just a little shocked, and I was just a little taken back, and I thought, God, oh my goodness, you know, and I didn't tell anybody. I just sat there. And then he spoke to me loud and clear, and he said, Cheryl, I want you to be an anomaly. I didn't know what the word anomaly meant. And so I said out loud to the group, does anybody here know what an anomaly means? And Frank Smith was there, and Frank said, you know, it's something that breaks nature's laws. And I was like, oh, my goodness. Oh, my goodness. But the truth is, I say all this to you because I know it's not me. It's you. It's us. God wants us to be supernatural beings. That is the will of God. We have so been taught that you are mere mortals. You can't go over the edge. You cannot stay in a box. You think the devil wants you in a box? Absolutely. You were created to rule and reign with Jesus Christ. Do you know that? Do you believe that? How will you ever rule and reign with Jesus Christ if you stay in the mere mortal, natural, ho-hum human thinking? We have got to get out of that and say, God, conform me into your image. Help me to think big thoughts. Help me to think greater thoughts than I've ever dreamed of. He said, beyond your wildest imagination. Beyond my wildest imagination. I can read the verse, right? I got a wild imagination. Beyond my wildest imaginations, if I truly love him. And you know what God's looking for right now? He's looking for people that will seek him like they were seeking a brick of gold. What if I told you right now there was a huge diamond and a brick of gold, and I think it might be over here? A lot of you would go crazy looking for it, right? It's going to pass away. Those are not the things that count for life. You have to seek him as if you were seeking for great riches. If you will give all of your heart, all of your life, everything to him, he will take you beyond where you even ever imagined. So I want you just to stand up. I want to pray that God will change our hearts and our minds and our thinking, that we would really, truly walk out all that God has for us, because we were not created to be mere mortals. I want you to say that with me. I was not created to be a mere mortal. I was created to rule and reign with Jesus Christ. I was created to live a life of love. I was created to be the great forgiver. Okay, Lord Jesus, change us. Change us from the inside out. Holy Spirit, I ask you to change us. God, would you release faith today? God, would you break the power of doubt and unbelief that shrouds our minds? We bind the power of doubt and unbelief that shrouds our minds and tells us that we are mere mortals, that we will never move beyond where we were born. And we say no to the lies of hell. God, I thank you that this is a group that will walk in the spectacular. This is a group, and there are people here that will lay hands on the cripples and they will jump out of those chairs. God, I thank you that there are people here that will love you with every ounce of their being, and they will become love and they will become the living word. Every word that's written in your book will be within them, and they will walk out the fullness that you intended. God, I thank you for the manifestation of the sons of God, that you are arising, and I just say, arise, sons, arise, daughters, bind up the lies of the enemy and walk out your full destiny. God, I thank you for what you are doing, and we just say, we renounce the lies of hell, and we will be the great forgivers. We will walk into the spirit world. We will walk into the ways that you originally intended for us to. And God, I thank you that you will draw, just like in Charlotte's Web, you drew people from around all of the place to see what was going on in that barnyard. You drew them, and you are the great drawer, Holy Spirit, and I thank you for what you're doing. And God, we say yes, 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 Yes to what you do. Yes to your ways. Yes, yes, yes. And God, I pray an impartation of faith. And God, I ask for a release of the hosts of heaven right now, that we would have faith when we walk out of here that would be far greater than we walked in with. God, would you awaken a fasting desire within us, that we would put away the things of this world and that we would walk into the things of the Spirit, God. God, we know that without walking in the Spirit, it is not possible to please you. So would you transform us from the inside out? And God, we thank you for the great awakening that is on its way. We thank you for the awakening of the bride. We thank you for the awakening of your children. And we declare your kingdom on earth as it is in heaven. God, I thank you for what you're doing. And I thank you for this amazing group of people. And God, I just ask you, even in the nighttime, give them dreams and visions. In Jesus' name, amen. You know, God said in Joel that he was going to pour out his Spirit on all flesh. And before that, we have got to consecrate a fast. And I want to encourage you to consecrate your life at a deeper level. You go deeper than wherever you've been, whatever that looks like. I want to challenge you to spend time fasting and don't just go hungry. Fast and seek God as if he were a brick of gold, because he is worth so much more than anything on this earth. And as we close, I want to remind you, I told Ronnie I would remind you, the hand up breakfast is back there as a dinner. It's back there. So go on ahead and sign up for that. And please sign up also to go and bless the men that are in prison. That is the chosen fast, to go into the prisons and to set the captives free. And you guys have what it takes. It takes love to set the captives free. So thank you and bless you, and let's go for it.
Like you. I give all I have just to know you. Jesus, there's no